I'm the best at what I do, and what I do isn't very nice.
Hey, bub, that's my line.
Actually, no, that's my line, because your geek history lesson on Laura Kinney, a.k.a. X-23, a.k.a. The Wolverine, is now in session.
Chuck, get my lawyer on the phone.
Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Still Not Canadian Inman. Welcome to your Mind University, a school for gifted youngsters that's all inside of a podcast where we teach you about your powers, or actually mutants that actually have powers that are sometimes women and look great in men's costumes in less than an hour. That's right, Geek History Lesson. And today's subject is a very, very, very special lady who looks way better in yellow and blue than this guy Logan ever did. And what's her name?
Laura Kinney.
Otherwise known as?
X-23.
Or the all-new Wolverine. All right, cool. And we're talking about her because she was pretty awesome in a certain movie titled Logan.
Right, which if you want to hear us talk about that, we do have a separate podcast where we talk all spoilers about the
Logan
movies.
Yeah, we did that in the previous episode, and we're not going to do that again. This is going to be all about the old comic
books. The comics is all the
times. That's right. And if you want to complain to us about that on Twitter, you're like, well, wait a minute, what? What? If you can't figure out how iTunes works, goes back to your previous episode, then just go find us on Twitter. I'm at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and you can find Ashley at Ashley V. Robinson.
Heck yes.
So let's open up the secret files, and let's jump right into this, right?
Yes, let's do it. Although before we do that, I do say we have two amazing TAs who requested this. We have Zach Denton and Dominic Tan. So bless both of you gentlemen for requesting that we do X-23.
Zach Denton, a longtime listener of Geek History Lesson.
Yes, old school, first class at Geek History Lesson.
I think he's a third-year student now.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, he's going to graduate. You better sign up for grad school.
All right, so let's jump into the first section of this podcast, the 10-cent origin, where Ashley is going to give you the Cliff Notes version of X-23. So in case you go to an amazing cocktail party and the Brotherhood of Mutants evil headquarters, you can tell Magneto exactly who Laura is.
Don't tell Magneto that.
No, tell him he can pull your metal filings out of your mouth. You tell Magneto who she is.
She is, of course, a Marvel Comics character named Laura Kinney, a.k.a. Laura X, Talon, Captain Universe, X-23, and Wolverine. She is a human mutant clone of James Howlett, who we also talked about extensively on this podcast, who first appeared in NYX number 3, published in February of 2004, and she was created by Craig Kyle. Her team affiliations include Weapon X, X-Men, New X-Men, Avengers Academy, X-Force, and Thunderbolts, and her abilities are proficiency in martial arts, long-range weapons and explosives, heightened senses, speed, reflexes, and endurance, a regenerative healing factor, retractable adamantium-plated claws, two in her hands and one in each of her feet. Which is kind of weird.
Like the James Bond villain.
Yes, and like we said, you recently saw her in the Logan movie.
Yeah.
Woo! And that's it. That's your 10-cent origin.
Okay, let's move on to the next section of the podcast, the meet cute, where Ashley and I are going to tell you about the first time that we ever met old Laura Kinney.
Kinney,
and what it was like. We stole the term from romantic comedies.
So, fun fact, I thought X-23 was Asian, like literally until she was cast as a white person in the movie.
Okay.
And I've gone back and I've reread some of these stories and I've examined the art, and like they really draw her like she's Asian because she has these accentuated eyes.
I always thought she was Asian too.
Right, that tend to be stylistically reserved for East Asian characters. And so I was like surprised to find out that she's actually Caucasian. But I first met her when she appeared in X-Men Evolution, where she also looks Asian, which was actually where the character came from. She was a cartoon character first who was then integrated into the comics like Harley Quinn over on the DC side, and I freaking love X-Men Evolution. It does not hold up in any way, shape, or form, although it is all on Netflix. And I really loved the idea of a girl Wolverine because I was like, that's who I want to be if I was an X-person.
Girl Wolverine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You live forever and you have claws. Like, what more could you want?
Do you really want claws, though?
Yeah, if I have to be a superhero, I think the claws are a pretty good way to go.
Okay.
I would take it.
I don't see how they work with physics, but sure.
Don't worry about
okay.
it.
Okay.
How about you? Where did you first meet X-23?
I first met her because I heard some articles about, I read some articles in actually Wizard Magazine about NYX, the series. It was written by Joe Quesada at the time.
Like, yes,
he started NYX. And then they said that they were going to supplant this character from X-Men Evolution into the book, and then that's how I found out about X-23. And I don't think I've ever watched any of the X-Men Evolution episodes of X-23, but...
It is a very kidsy cartoon.
Well, I've watched pieces of X-Men Evolution. I've never watched the entirety of it, but I knew who she was, and I saw who she was in the comic books. But to be honest with you, I never really read a book of hers until All New Wolverine, so very Tom Taylor's excellent series very recently.
Yes, which is really great. I will definitely say that. All right, let's move right into History 101.
And this is where Ashley is going to break down the character and reveal the secrets and show you all the DNA chains that took to DNA clone Wolverine into Laura.
Correct. A little bit of publication history before we get started. So like I said, X-23 first appeared in Season 3, Episode 11 of X-Men Evolution, titled X-23. And she was so popular and so many people wrote them fan mail about her that they decided to bring her over into comic book continuity. And creator Craig Kyle revealed that X-23 was his attempt to make Wolverine, to force him to connect more to the younger kids. Because in X-Men Evolution, they take a lot of the classic X-Men characters and make them teenagers. Wolverine was still one of the old grizzled guys, so this was their attempt to bring him down to their audience level.
Correct me if I'm wrong. On X-Men Evolution, it was like Wolverine and Storm...
Are the adults.
Are the adults, yes. And everybody else was like the teenagers.
Yeah, and they go to like a regular school. It's like they go to high school.
But they just live in the X-Mansion.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Because the Brotherhood of Mutants also goes to that high school.
Yeah, well, that's where they invented Avalanche.
Great.
Yes, and the Blob and Toad are also there. Mm. The characterization went for the opposite of Wolverine, where instead of a man who is older than we know with no memory of his past and the life that he lost, X-23 was a young girl, quote, shackled to the murder she committed, end quote, whose entire life revolved around the project that made her a killer. Craig Kyle added that the character is, quote, Pinocchio from Marvel Comics. She's a samurai sword trying to become a real little girl.
She's a samurai sword trying to become a real little girl?
Yeah, you know, like how Pinocchio's a puppet who wants to be a real boy?
I mean, it's a weird... Okay.
It's not a great analogy, but he said it, so we're going to go with it.
It's fine. And by the way, I just want to point out, Ashley pointed something out earlier about Avalanche being... Avalanche was not created for X-Men Evolution.
I thought he was. My mistake.
He was like a smaller tiered like X-Men villain years before that.
Well, he still is. So.
He doesn't really matter. I just wanted to correct you before we got too far.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Now into her fictional character biography. So Laura's... The first story she appears in is NYX. The story that tells her origin is called Innocence Lost. So we're going to go in fictional chronological order as opposed to publishing order.
That's the way to do it. It's the way we did it with Wolverine.
For the sake of this.
It just makes it simple.
So in Innocence Lost, we see a top secret program that is tasked to replicate the original Weapon X experiment that bonded adamantium to the skeleton of Wolverine, which literally never works.
It only worked once.
It worked that one time, and that was it.
All the science programs of the Marvel Universe only work once. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, I don't know what that says about science.
Interesting. In the Marvel Universe,
Marvel Universe, yes. The project is taken in a new direction, however. Dr. Martin Sutter recruits renowned mutant geneticist Dr. Sarah Kinney. Recognize that last name? To develop a clone of Wolverine. Since the only genetic sample from Weapon X is damaged, Kinney is able to salvage the Y chromosome and not the X chromosome.
Interesting.
So Kinney proposes the creation of a female genetic twin. And after 22 failed attempts at reconstituting the DNA using the duplicate X chromosome, the 23rd sample yields a viable sample to combine with the embryo, and Kinney is forced to be impregnated with the embryo and act as the surrogate mother of the specimen and give birth to it.
Oh, so they did it not comic book cloning where like the person just grew in a vat.
They did bio cloning.
They did real world cloning, just like Dolly the Sheep.
Laura Kinney is the Dolly the Sheep of the Marvel
Universe.
Well,
I mean, we're calling X-23 a sword. Come on.
A samurai sword, I will have you know.
Yes,
so
that's true.
For 9 months, Kinney's every move was monitored. She finally gives birth to X-23 at the end of that, like most normal human beings do. X-23 is subjected to radiation poisoning at the age of 7 in order to activate her mutant gene early because you have to be under duress.
Got it.
When her bone claws manifest, they are extracted. They are physically removed from her skeleton, all three of them, from her hands, and coated in adamantium before being reattached, 2 to the hand, 1 to the foot. All of this is done without anesthetic. So a lot like Wolverine, they do all this stuff to her and they never put her under.
So this was the explanation of why her claws are different.
Yes. Why she's got 2 in the hand and only 1 in the foot.
All right.
During this same procedure, X-23 gets given a quote, trigger scent, which is a mark of her character, and this sends her into a murderous rage. And in order to take the most advantage of the berserker rage brought on by the trigger scent, X-23 is extensively trained as an assassin, mostly in Eastern martial arts, because that's what comic books do.
Yeah.
She is later smuggled out of the Weapon X facility by Kinney when Kinney's niece Megan is abducted by a serial killer in order to rescue her. She tracks Megan to the man's apartment and brutally murderizes him. When she is recaptured, Kinney the scientist is fired and no longer there to look after her. Although on her way out of the facility, she sees other experiments in development, including X-24 and X-50, which were characters that were initially announced to be developed later and, to my knowledge, have never made it out of this miniseries.
X-50? Wow, that was quite a jump.
Well, it's a nicer number, you know. It's a nice round number. 23 is not a nice round number. Kinney drafts a letter to her daughter, assigning her her final mission, to destroy the pods and kill Rice, who is currently the head of the project. X-23 succeeds and meets her mother, and they prepare to flee unbeknownst to them. Kinney had been sprayed with the trigger scent, so X-23 kills her. As her mother dies, she names X-23 Laura, tells her that she loves her, and gives her a photograph of Professor X and Wolverine standing in front of the Xavier Institute for Gifted Youngsters.
How'd she get that picture?
It's from a press release. It's from, like, a newspaper.
All right, all right.
She doesn't just have a weird Polaroid.
I think that's weird.
Of, like, you know, them hanging out in their, I don't know, tennis whites or something in front of the Institute.
Their tennis whites.
I don't know. I think that'd be really funny. Someone draw it for me. X-23 tracks Wolverine to Xavier's mansion and immediately engages him in battle, defeating him using tactics and maneuverability, confirming that she has better training and is a more adept combatant than him, which is something that comes up a lot when they team up together.
That she's better?
She's a better tactician than he is. She has better training.
Kind of reminds me of Cassandra Cain, the second Batgirl.
It does. Kind of reminds me, too, of a Power Girl and Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So she does not kill Wolverine because you can't kill Wolverine except in the story where you do kill Wolverine, instead telling him why she came to find him. Wolverine reveals that he is aware of X-23's ordeal, having received a detailed letter from her mother before she died. Lucky him. She's then briefly captured by Captain America and S.H.I.E.L.D., who want her to atone for her crimes until attorney Matt Murdock shows up, proves her innocent, and frees her from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Matt Murdock, man. Even X-23 has his lawyer phone number etched
the
in her brain.
He's the lawyer of the Marvel Universe.
I guess.
I don't know. Maybe her mom also gave her, like, a Polaroid of Matt Murdock. Who knows? She's like, look, if you ever... I won't bail you out of jail, but call this dude.
She's
a
like,
good dude.
Look, if you ever get in legal trouble, just go to Hell's Kitchen and go, Matt! He'll
There's
hear
only
you.
One guy named Matt in all of Hell's Kitchen. So now we come to the events of the NYX series, which is where most comic fans, if they didn't meet her in the cartoon, they first met her here.
Yep.
X-23 services in New York City and is taken in by a pimp named Zebra Daddy. Not... I'm not kidding. That's real. Thank you, Joe Quesada.
Zebra Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They all call him Daddy. It's super creepy.
What's black and white and red all over? Me.
I wish he was that. He's not that great a character.
Okay.
She works for him as a prostitute who caters to sadomasochistic patrons and is often seen cutting repeat clients.
All right.
X-23... this is the introduction of her cutting herself with her own claws, which is something that you will see continue throughout her history. She is mostly...
Real quick, she has the healing factor as well.
She does.
Okay, cool.
Yes, yes, yes. She's mostly mute during this series and proves unable to free herself from the grip of Zebra Daddy. It's not explicitly clear why, but there seems to be a little bit of like Stockholm Syndrome brainwashing going on.
Okay, got it.
Upon meeting the lead of the series, Kid and Nixon, a young mutant with the ability to freeze time when in danger, and think like sex criminals but without the sex, and Tatiana Caban, a mutant who can take on the physical attributes of whoever and whatever she comes in contact with via their blood, X-23 starts to come to her senses and talk again. Although she runs away from Zebra Daddy, he tracks her down, and with the aid of her newfound...
With zebra senses.
Yeah, with the aid of her newfound friends, including a mutant named Bobby Soul, who's kind of like Jericho. He can jump from people to people and possess them.
Nice.
Zebra Daddy and his thugs are defeated. X-23 kills him in order to save everybody, and she saves the lives of her friends.
Doesn't she know that zebras are endangered?
Not the ones in New York City.
Got it.
Not the ones in the Bronx.
Not the ones that are pimps.
Most of the action takes place. Yeah, yeah. X-23 then takes a job as a waitress at a mutant-themed wannabes nightclub in the Mutant Town district of New York City.
Yeah, M-Town.
Yes. She defends the daughter of a mob boss by killing some mobsters, and their deaths inadvertently implicate Wolverine, prompting his teammates to investigate because they recognize the style
marks.
Of the claws.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. X-23 attacks Wolverine on sight again, but he eventually calms her down. She leads the X-Men to the daughter and aids them against the mob boss's mutant enforcer, Geech. G-E-E-C-H. Don't worry about it. And then X-23 flees the scene after they've defeated him. This encounter is later retconned to be partially arranged between X-23 and Wolverine in order for her to encounter and ally with the X-Men without revealing her past because they don't trust her at this point.
Got it.
Which I think is silly. She then returns to help the X-Men save victims of a car accident, after which she enrolls at the Xavier Institute and is assigned to room with Rachel Summers and Kitty Pryde.
Whoa, Kitty Pryde would be a little bit old at this time, so.
Well, Laura's like 17 or 18.
Okay.
So I think.
But even at that point, I would put Kitty Pryde at like late 20s.
No. She's definitely like in her early 20s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the way they draw her in the series.
Sure, sure.
Yes.
I mean, Rachel Summers, the alternate universe Phoenix,
yes.
would be about the same age.
Yeah, she's about 17.
Yeah.
Kitty is the oldest among them, but I get the impression from the way she's treated in the storyline that she's still a student.
Sure. I guess from my head, like, since Kitty has been with the X-Men since the 80s.
You got to go revolving timeline.
I know.
Maybe 20.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too much. I love this because I really like Kitty Pryde, so I get two great characters together.
Cool.
X-23 behaves protectively towards Wolverine after she joins the school, observing him on the mansion's security monitors and even attacking his teammate Bishop after he floors Wolverine during a training session. And during one of her sessions at the mansion's monitors, an anomalous energy spike prompts X-23 to go out and investigate. She encounters Spider-Man at the source of the signal, and mistaking him for an enemy, she attacks him. The pair ultimately team up to save a young mutant named Paul Patterson from an alternate reality version of Iron Man known as Iron Maniac. And are
what?
Just go with it.
Okay.
And are later joined by Captain America and Black Widow to defeat Iron Maniac. Fun fact, during this time, Spider-Man and X-23 developed their own version of the Fastball Special, X-Men fans will know, where he slingshots her around on the end of his web and, like, shoots her off to attack people.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cute.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not the only time Spider-Man is going to appear in this lesson.
All right.
Yes.
The whip.
Our favorite. Then we come to the events known as House of M and Decimation.
Yes.
X-23 is not a big part or really even a little part of these events. But in the wake of those events happening.
And House of M, of course, is where Scarlet Witch says, no more mutants. And so all the mutants disappear except for 198 of them.
And Decimation is them basically trying to put the team back
together. Yeah, recovering. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. X-23 was one of the few mutants to retain her powers after the events of M-Day.
Because she was popular.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you think there's anything else to it, that's naive.
Yeah.
But yeah, because she's really cool.
Yeah.
So X-23, having previously left the Institute off-panel, returns to the X-Mansion. This is going to be a running theme. At Wolverine's
just like
insistence.
Wolverine.
Yes, just like Wolverine. She's a lot like her clone dad.
Her clone daddy?
Yes. Laura is assigned to room with a fellow mutant student, Soraya Kadir, who you may know as Dust.
I like Dust.
Who's, I like her too, but she's kind of a problematic character.
Sure.
She begins to develop an attraction toward student Julian Keller, a.k.a. Hellion? H-E-L-L-I-O-N, I'm sorry.
I'd say Hellion.
Hellion, protecting him while participating in holographic combat simulations in the Danger Room created for members of the student body by David Alane, who was formerly a mutant codenamed Prodigy, but at this time his powers are down, but he is in charge of Danger Room sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
And she doesn't like him.
Got it.
After a character named Jay Guthrie appears bloody and beaten on the doorstep of the Institute, Emma Frost, who was an important figure at the X-Men at the time.
And the headmistress.
Yes. Has the powered students compete in a free-for-all brawl with those deemed to be the best performers assigned to the new team of trainee X-Men. So they kind of have a Royal Rumble so that they can decide who's going
to
be X-Men.
Oh, is this a lead into the comic book series? I think it's called, is it called Young X-Men?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Despite Frost's attempts to omit her because Emma freaking hates Laura, X-23 is among those students who excel during the exercise and also receives unexpected aid from Hellion, whom Frost had instructed to take X-23 out from the battle first. She is placed on a team with Mercury, Dust, Hellion, Elixir, Rock Slide, and the team leader Surge by Cyclops. He thinks they would make a great team, who thwarts Frost's attempts to keep her off the team by pulling rank because no matter who you are in the X-Men, you are not more important than Cyclops.
Yeah, I also believe that this series was written by one of the X-Men Evolution writers.
Yes, mm-hmm. Or at least part of the arcs, some of the arcs were. Yes, you are right. Yeah. Because almost all of these characters were either created for or appeared in X-Men Evolution. Uh-huh. And it was a wildly popular show at the time.
Well, that book was great too.
Yes, it is really great.
It's a fun little book.
As the depowered students and staff are leaving the school, their bus is bombed by anti-mutant religious zealot Reverend William Stryker.
This guy.
This jerk. Everyone knows who Stryker is. Mm. X-23 overhears Dust talking to Icarus, who had fled the mansion. Dust intends to meet him, but Laura warns her that it's a trap, and she goes in Dust's place. She wears her traditional garb and is shot upon arriving at Stryker's compound. Mm-hmm. Laura soon returns to the mansion and single-handedly kills three purifiers who have incapacitated Surge, Hellion, and Emma Frost, because she's good like that.
Yeah.
When Surge receives a distress call from Forge, X-23 accompanies the new X-Men. And on this mission, X-23 is grievously wounded and is unable to heal herself, which is kind of a big deal because her whole thing is that she can heal herself.
Yeah.
In order to save X-23, Hellion convinces Emma Frost to unlock his telekinetic potential, increasing his powers and thus his speed to a level of thought impossible previously so that he can help her heal.
Okay, so he basically convinces her to heal faster.
Basically, yes.
Okay.
Because sometimes when the Wolverines, and I include pretty much every Wolverine derivative character in this, when they get hit with certain bullets or certain weapons made of certain compounds, it will slow down their healing process.
Well, we
talked
about
could kill them.
We talked about in the Wolverine lesson, the catamanium or catamanta,
something like that.
The bullet that Wolverine shot Daken with.
They shoot her with the same stuff.
Slow his healing factor. The first Wolverine movie did it too. I do not like the idea of these magic bullets.
I don't either, but they're like, you're kind of like a werewolf, I guess.
Yeah, it's made of this weird metal, so it can hurt you, right?
Yeah, don't worry about it. So Hellion with Emma Frost help speeds up her healing factor. This is fine. This allows him to fly back to the mansion in time for Laura to be healed by Elixir. Elixir can transform into different matter and is a really great healer.
Cool.
X-23 is then part of a group of mutants that are hunting down Magic. Sister of Colossus, after she disappears.
Yes.
So while searching for Magic, the demon lord
Belasco brings...
Which I think is like a cheese in the real
world. He's an old school X-Men villain that I believe first appeared during Claremont's run.
Ah, well, there you go. I know he's a classic.
Before John Byrne, in fact.
Oh, look at that. So Belasco brings all the students into limbo because everyone goes to hell. X-23 is one of the students who is trapped there with the rest of her team. She is depicted trying to fight off his restraints. X-23's advanced sight enables her to see the Institute, and she's able to reveal Belasco's plans to his fellow mutants.
Yes.
So that's lucky.
Belasco.
The Demon Lord, however, is not impressed by her attacks, and as he declares her soul not worth taking, reduces X-23 to nothing but bones and adamantium claws with an energy blast. And this recalls the same thing that has happened to Logan in a couple previous
storylines. Very famously in the Days of Future Past storyline.
Correct.
Yeah.
He later uses his magic to resurrect her because she's no fun, just a pile of bones.
Yeah.
But then proceeds to torture X-23, claiming he will kill and resurrect as many of the students as he desires until magic is brought to him. She is then revived by her teammates, frees the Stepford Cuckoos, who are, trapped at the time, and slows down Belasco's attack with their help. So that's why they're important.
Okay.
X-23 also appears in World War Hulk around this same time in publication history, along with several other students, and she basically goes up against him. Together, they pin him down, but she is knocked away when he regains his strength. Attacking Hulk a second time, she manages to blind him with the claw in her foot right into his eyeball.
Oh, mama.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Hulk recovers, grabs X-23, and hurls her into the mansion, stating grimly that he hopes she heals like Wolverine. Because he's kind of a jerk in the storyline.
He is, because he basically shows up to the X-Men mansion, knocks on their door, and is like, I want to beat the crap out of Charles Xavier. And they're all like,
And then he beats up a bunch of kids.
He's not here. And then basically the whole X-Men, like, dogpile him.
Yeah. A lot of people are trying to cite this as how the X-Men are going to be brought into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think that is... Wishful thinking.
With the Hulk?
Well, yeah, because, you know, World War Hulk has been rumored for quite some time, as well as Planet Hulk, we know is coming, and that if the Logan movie takes off, we're going to see X-23 in a scene like this, in a cameo appearance. I think it's wishful thinking.
I doubt that.
But that is one of the things that people like to dream
about.
Okay, cool. During the Messiah Complex storyline, some of the new X-Men, as this new recruit team is
called the New X-Men, not the Young X-Men. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Yeah. Decide to launch a preemptive strike against the Purifiers. Now, while spying on the Purifiers, X-23 manages to impress Armor with her senses because her and Armor aren't really getting along at the time.
And Armor is a character that was introduced during Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run, who is one of Wolverine's girl sidekick. So it's interesting that she's teaming up with X-23 because Armor...
That's why they don't like each other.
Armor could basically project like this pink hard armor around herself.
Yeah, she's actually an Asian character.
Yeah.
And she can basically make, holographic, not like Gundam armor
it's
around
energy
herself.
It's energy armor.
It's really cool.
Cool. I like her. I think she's cool. She's kind of disappeared.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I rate the X-Men and Marvel can call me at any time, I would bring her back.
So X-23 and Armor don't like each other because of their mutual Wolverine love.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
I mean, Wolverine is hot, so there you go.
Is he?
He is when he's played by Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
Not in the comics. But X-23 and Armor are ambushed by Reavers, whose leader, Lady Deathstrike, mortally wounds Hellion after a brief fight because he sort of jumps into the phrase like, no, my sort of girlfriend, whatever. Laura's real sad about that. Then Pixie, who is basically like Bumblebee, but she's got pink wings and she's white, manages to teleport the team out, and they are spread between Washington, D.C., and the Institute. So she gets them out of this fight, but they're like...
All along the East Coast.
They're basically all like left hanging out in the middle of the United States and not together. Iceman then goes around and picks up all the new X-Men, in a plane, and the mansion is promptly attacked by Sentinels. And X-23 lead the team and take all the Sentinels out. Then Cyclops, realizing he has to up the stakes and get the child no matter what, decides that it's time to assemble the X-Force, which now features Laura, Wolverine, Wolfsbane, Caliban, Warpath, and Hepzibah, H-E-P-Z-I-B-A-H.
Well, really quickly, let's stop here because there's a little bit that the whole child thing, we've mentioned this on a couple other previous podcasts, especially on the Cyclops podcast, that this is the whole thing where this is the first baby mutant born since M-Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's Hope Summers, and Cyclops is wanting to get that baby, and that's why he forms this X-Force team to go get her.
Yes, that's good.
Yep.
Good, Paul. So,
just a little check so you know where we are in X-Men history.
Yeah, so he puts together this new X-Force. Excuse me, it's not the first X-Force.
Secret Black Ops team of X-Force.
Which is my preferred way for X-Force to
exist. And they all get black and gray costumes, and
we really liked those in the movie at the
kill
time.
People.
Yeah,
red eyes.
I like this X-Force.
All the covers have red eyes.
Do they?
Yeah, they do all these like crazy covers where like all the X-Force they all get black and gray, and
I just don't remember.
And they all like on the covers they all have red eyes. Even Laura has red eyes. It's something about the way the artist drew them that they all look like they red evil eyes.
That's so weird. Yeah, because I think of red as being like a bad guy thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever.
Well, they're bad guys.
While in pursuit of Cable, they are not. And the mutant newborn that we just talked about, X-Force battles, Lady Deathstrike, and the Reavers again.
Yep.
Because why not? Lady Deathstrike is cool. And if you have two Wolverines on a team, you pretty much have to put them against Lady Deathstrike at some point. Wolverine sets X-23, it's hard to say, against Lady Deathstrike, who wants revenge for nearly killing Hellion like 2 minutes ago, and seemingly kills her after crippling her cybernetic systems and destroying her healing factor.
Got it.
Although, of course, she doesn't because, you know,
you can't,
comics.
Lady Deathstrike is part robot.
I like like Lady Deathstrike. She's cool.
Yes.
She's really cool when she's in the movie.
She's really cool in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Later, she traveled with X-Force to Eagle Plaza in Dallas and then to Muir Island, which is the Marauders' new base at the time. And during the heavy battle between the X-Men and the Marauders, X-23 saves Wolverine's life, killing a character named Scrambler. Right before he can scramble Wolverine's healing factor, and that pretty much tells you what he does.
Okay.
Well, he can mess with your
sounds
powers.
Like a Batman 60s villain. I'm the Scrambler.
It is very silly.
Yeah.
X-Force's first official mission when they kind of come out as being this Black Force team, or Black Ops team. Black Force, what? Has them investigating the theft of Bastion's cyborg head from a S.H.I.E.L.D. base.
Now, Bastion is this 90s X-Men character who was the first believed to be human, but was later revealed to be a Sentinel, basically. He created the Sentinel program in the 90s, and he's basically the main villain of this storyline called Operation Zero Tolerance. He has a cool design.
He does have a cool design.
Not a great villain. He's basically a robot masquerading as a government official.
Yes, like so many of them turn out to be.
And he's got a white goatee.
He does, yeah. So his head was in a S.H.I.E.L.D. base. It gets stolen. X-Force gets sent after it. The mission is ultimately a failure, and Matthew Reisman, the leader of the Purifiers at the time, escapes from what is left of the building, ruthlessly blown up by X-23, and brings Wolfsbane along with him as a hostage.
Now let's take a little quick break right now and pay some bills. Let's give some love to our sponsor, Blue Apron. Now they are a wonderful company that delivers fresh ingredients and recipes right to your front door. You know, there's that door at the beginning of your house, if you don't know what that is. Now that makes your cooking very easy, because if you're like me, cooking is long and cooking is arduous. And Blue Apron solves all that by giving you a step-by-step easy recipe card for a meal that you can make in 40 minutes or less.
And Blue Apron's website is super easy to use and offers a ton of variety. New recipes are available every week, and recipes are not repeated within a year. 365 days of new recipes. So your plates are going to look different every time you sit down to your dinner table.
So what you want to do is you want to check out this week's Blue Apron menu, and you can get your first 3 meals free. Let me repeat that. 3 meals free.
Woo!
With free shipping by going to blueapron.com/lesson. That's LESSON. You will love how good the food feels, how good it tastes, and it will allow you to create some incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait.
You like to eat, and you like to listen to Geek History Lessons, so why not do both? And get a great meal for your geeky ears.
Now, there's plenty of promo codes out there, so why not choose ours and help out the Mind University? That's blueapron.com/lesson to get the amazing meals of Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Now, back to the show, students. Now, let's talk more about the X-Force.
Okay.
So, you know, they had this bad mission, but they eventually regroup later, and Wolverine takes this opportunity to admonish Laura for being so reckless with the lives of her teammates and for letting someone get kidnapped, for letting Wolfsbane get kidnapped. This confuses Laura, and she's later seen alone in a forest mutilating herself with her claws as a reaction.
Okay.
When the team is joined later by Domino, X-23 also doesn't trust her, even going so far as to have her claws out whenever Domino is in the same room with her, which as far as being an X-person goes is pretty threatening, I have
Domino
to say.
Domino also, by the way, is a classic X-Force member. She was part of Cable's X-Force, and she basically has a big black spot on her face.
I think she has a great look.
I like Domino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She takes part in retrieving the legacy virus that Vanisher had left behind when the X-Force is deployed on that mission, and also attacks the Marauders' clones that had attacked them, killing them with very little hesitation. And a lot of her teammates don't view this act very positively. When X-23 tries to kill herself due to becoming infected with the legacy virus, Elixir stops her and gets rid of the legacy virus from her system.
That's convenient.
Like I said, Elixir can transmutate a bunch of stuff, and he basically exists to heal people.
Cool.
In Messiah War, X-23 moves with the X-Men to San Francisco.
And they're going to San Francisco. We did this with the
please,
Cyclops,
please
right?
continue.
Don't let the mutants bother any of your hair.
So they move to San Francisco, where they're accepted as heroes.
If you're going to San Francisco.
where they're accepted as heroes by
Here comes Magneto with a bridge to crush all your cars.
Oh, God, that. They're accepted as heroes by the mayor having rejected the 50-state initiative. Now, Jason, what is the 50-state initiative?
Well, really quickly state that again because I might have been singing over you. I'm sorry. And I want to make sure everybody out there can hear it.
In Messiah War, X-23 moves with the X-Men to San Francisco,
great,
where they are accepted as heroes by the mayor, having rejected the 50-state initiative.
The 50-state initiative is this program that was introduced in the Marvel Universe after Civil War, mm-hmm, after Captain America and Iron Man decided that they couldn't be best friends anymore. And it was the program designed by S.H.I.E.L.D. that every superhero basically shouldn't live in New York City. Let's have a superhero team in every single state. It was a great concept. I like the concept a lot. It was kind of dealt with in this series called Avengers: The Initiative, mm-hmm, but then it was kind of forgotten 2 years later.
Well, there you go. So they moved to San Francisco,
yeah,
instead of joining any of those teams in, like, Kansas. Yep. X-23 shares a room with Armor and Pixie during this time, although she leaves... she once leaves behind a towel covered with blood, which Pixie brings to Emma Frost and is like, I don't know what's going on. Frost states that it is not Laura's blood, although it is unclear how she knows that, and brings the matter to the Cabal. The Cabal are a bunch of evil mutant guys. X-23, Domino, and Proudstar are dispatched back in time in order to save Boom Boom on their next mission. However, both Domino and Proudstar fall ill due to time travel. And Boom Boom is basically White Jubilee, who's less interested.
Boom Boom is also the little sister of X-Man Cannonball, also a member of the original X-Force.
Also prominent in X-Men Evolution.
Yep.
Feeling grateful for saving her friend and ending her suffering, X-23 disables the time travel device on the other two and goes back in time in order to save Boom Boom herself because she doesn't get sick. She arrives just in time to stop the suicidal Leper Queen from killing Boom Boom and saves the day. When they come back to the future, X-23 collapses in exhaustion. Hammer agents storm the building, giving medical care to everyone while they take X-23 in for questioning.
Okay.
However, they're not really Hammer agents. They're pretending to be Hammer agents, and they take her back to the facility, where an evil lady named Kimura saws off her left arm.
Whoa, 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 whoa! It's not Saw.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
She saws off her left arm. Not,
why?
Because she's bad.
Oh, that's terrible.
I don't really know why, if I'm going to be completely honest.
I'm going to say, since Laura is a Wolverine of some type, experimentation is a good answer.
Probably.
Okay.
Then a real Hammer agent named Agent Morales arrives to help Laura escape. Yay, good for him. Evil Kimura is trapped under a blast door while Laura and Agent Morales find themselves in a room containing large tanks filled with the trigger scent. Remember that?
Wait a minute. That's the smell that makes Laura kill people,
that's,
right?
That's very true.
It's two parts lilac and one part cinnamon, right?
Oh, that would smell so good.
Yes.
While inside the room, Laura cuts the claws out of her severed arm because it's sort of like hanging off at the elbow and gives them to Morales for safekeeping. I'm not kidding. That's a real thing that happens.
All righty.
She then lights a Molotov cocktail of sorts, which sets the sprinkler system off. And the facility soldiers finish cutting through to Laura. They cut through the door. Just as Kimura realizes the sprinklers are spraying trigger scent everywhere. Don't ask me how she rigged it up, but that's what they're doing. X-23 goes feral and kills all the soldiers.
With one arm.
With one arm on her way out. She gets to the facility's head office just as the sprinklers start spraying water, washing away the scent. The rest of X-Force arrives and takes Laura and her severed claws home. X-23 is then shown to be a part of Cyclops' alpha roster in the course of the second coming story arc.
Well, let's hold up here. Okay, so her arm was chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
She took her claws out of her arm.
Mm-hmm.
She shouldn't have to do that because she would regrow her claws.
But she would regrow her three bone claws.
She would regrow her three bone claws, correct. And so the idea is that she reimplanted the two metal claws back into herself.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why she took them with her.
Yeah, and then her...
So when her arm regenerates, she puts them
back.
But
then in her arm, she doesn't... In that one arm, she has a regular skeleton, not an adamantium skeleton now.
Just don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's comics.
If the writer remembers it.
If the next writer remembers it, which I'm pretty sure they don't, and they never address.
Got it. Okay.
It's okay. We've had like 3 reboots since then, so sure. She's just back to normal. Yeah, so they take her and her severed claws home. X-23's and Shortwave Alpha roster during the course of the Second Coming arc, which is another one of Cyclops' strike teams. Laura, along with most of the X-Force, accompany Cable and Cypher to the future in an attempt to shut down the Nimrod invasion. And following Cypher successfully overriding the program, Laura attempts to return through the temporal portal, only to sustain horrific injuries, which is the most important
thing. Nimrod is a sentinel from the future, by the way.
Yes.
Yes.
The portal prevents any organic matter from traveling through it, but because she has a healing factor, she does it anyway.
She just jumps through?
Yeah. And she becomes horrifically injured.
She's like, what the hell?
But this leads Cable, favorite of Jason Inman, to sacrifice himself, allowing his techno-organic virus to overwhelm him, forcing the portal open and making it possible for the team to return home to Utopia. In the fallout of Second Coming, Wolverine cuts X-23 from the team, citing that she has been following orders all her life from the facility, Weapon Plus, and the X-Men. He tells her it is time for her to make her own choices and follow her own path. So he basically is like, you can't be on the team anymore because, like, you're really good at following orders, but you shouldn't. Okay, bye. Shortly after her dismissal from X-Force, X-23 tracks the former Weapon X scientist named Detlef Metzger to a restaurant where he's eating. After tying up and gagging a waitress and stealing her uniform, X-23 infiltrates the diner with the intention of capturing the man before he can perform experiments using a vial of Wolverine's blood. Before she can make her move, a group of U.S. soldiers arrive and escape with Metzger. As the soldiers drive off, X-23 notices that Dakin had been in the same restaurant and had been watching her attack.
Now, let's explain who Dakin is, just in case they didn't listen to the Wolverine episode. Dakin is the son of Wolverine, who also, like her, has a weird claw thing.
Yes, and a nice Asian lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
X-23 begins having apocalyptic nightmares involving a demonic Wolverine asking her to be, quote, his right hand in hell. Due to this, she sleeps outside as to not cause any alarm among her roommates, because she's back living at
the
Xavier School.
Okay.
A rift has arisen between her and her former teammates, who are now wary of her due to her having been part of the X-Force. So they're like, ooh, you're probably really deadly. Like, we knew you were deadly, but you're really deadly. Cyclops convinces Laura to visit a halfway house in San Francisco for former mutants who are trying to live normal lives, because that makes sense. As she steps into the building, she suddenly experiences a vision similar to her dreams, with the building on fire and her surrounded by dismembered corpses. Then we get a weird flashback, and we see Wolverine and X-23 at a theme park. And while they're preparing to go on a roller coaster, Wolverine states that he is adopting her as his daughter, which is very important. She is legally his daughter.
Okay, so this is real. This is not a weirdo nightmare.
No, thing. This is a flashback that she's having while she's hallucinating.
Okay,
but
weird.
This is a real thing. Wolverine, Laura is Logan's adopted daughter.
Okay, cool.
When brought back to the present, the fire was implied to be started by a devil possessing Wolverine. He meets X-23 in a hospital and tries to convince her to join him as the Queen of Hell, just like her dreams. Although, don't worry, X-23 finds, quote, her inner light and banishes him from her mind. She awakens to find that there's blood everywhere, but she and Hellion are fine, so she doesn't worry about it too much.
That's a staple of most Wolverine stories, blood everywhere.
Yeah, and then it's just like, I'm leaving, bye. The X-Men are perplexed about her situation, much like the reader, and want her to stay so that they can fix her, but Gambit, that old scamp, convinces them otherwise, and she leaves Utopia. X-23 begins her journey towards self-discovery, flanked by Gambit, possibly the worst advisor she could have. They encounter Miss Sinister and a series of clones that are being experimented on. Sound familiar? Miss Sinister incapacitates Gambit and straps X-23 to a peculiar chair, stating her aim is to switch bodies, thus inheriting Laura's healing factor. She's wanted the healing factor because she was recently stabbed and wasn't too hot on that.
Got it.
Laura is possessed by Miss Sinister and and she mortally wounds her once again. Laura manages to overcome Miss Sinister's presence in her mind, expelling her through force of will, because she's got good will. She and Gambit escape as the building collapses and arrange for all the clone children to set off to be taken care of before they set off on their journey together again. X-23 and Gambit then travel to Madripoor, not a real place, in pursuit of Malcolm Colcord, who you may have heard about in the Wolverine lesson, a man who wants to revive the Weapon X program that created Wolverine and eventually becomes the head of one of the new Weapon X programs. And while on their way to Madripoor, X-23 and Gambit help a man from Gambit's past fight pirates who are terrorizing the seas near Singapore. They literally spend the rest of the arc fighting pirates and almost being drowned by equally ridiculous foes. So we're just gonna skip over that.
Sounds great.
They also get lost at sea and drift around for a while in the ocean and fight Deacon.
Is it implied that maybe they romantically become involved?
It is not.
Thank God.
Gambit and X-23 travel to Paris next, where they also don't get romantically involved.
Thank God.
Where it is revealed that Laura still engages in self-harm, and Gambit is suddenly struck by parental instincts that he's never had in his life, so he calls Logan to come to Paris and join them. Wolverine arrives at X-23 in Gambit's hotel with Jubilee as company, who's a vampire at this
time. Okay, okay. So I'll explain this because this is the time when X-Men were going a little crazy. They had a title just called X-Men, and in it, Jubilee became like a vampire in like issue one.
Uh-huh.
It's a terrible storyline. It's best left forgotten.
Yes. But X-23 nearly attacks her because she can smell that she's a vampire, and I guess that sends her off.
Yep.
So Wolverine and X-23 converse on the top of the hotel roof about her mental state, and Logan gives her advice about filling her heart with better memories instead of those from her past. Gambit questions Wolverine about why he never treated X-23 with the same compassion as Jubilee, and Wolverine admits that he did not make the right decisions with X-23 and is going to make attempts to rectify this for both X-23 and Jubilee's sake. Gambit then receives a call from someone in the Paris criminal underworld, a contact he has there, about an arms auction in Paris that is selling trigger scent. Later that night, X-23, Gambit, Jubilee, and Wolverine infiltrate the weapons auction, and they are unable to find the woman in charge. Although X-23 picks up her scent, chases her into an elevator where she is cut off from the rest of her team. A mysterious voice that X-23 recognizes but cannot place... is revealed to be a person on the kill list and speaks to her via the intercom in the elevator. The voice says to her that the scent has been upgraded and now anyone can be affected by it, but X-23's rages are special.
Oh no.
X-23 then becomes affected by the scent as the elevator arrives at the subway. Before X-23 starts killing civilians, Jubilee tries to subdue her, but to no avail, and so X-23 tries to kill her again. Jubilee pushes X-23 onto the train tracks just as a subway car is coming toward both of them at full speed. At the last second, Jubilee leaps and tackles X-23 away from the speeding train. X-23's legs are run over, but she bends it back into position and attempts to continue her assault on Jubilee. It's kind of brutal. Gambit and Wolverine intervene to calm X-23's rage. Wolverine takes the full impact of her blows, stating that he's not going to give up on her. And Gambit manages to get X-23 to remember who she really is and that all these people there care about her.
Yeah, that's right.
X-23's rage disappears and she apologizes for her actions. Then Laura and Gambit travel to New York City. And when Gambit is sidelined, she gets a chance to have some real solo adventures, including teaming up with her old friend Spider-Man again.
Yay! Whip the whip!
Exactly. After the two help save civilians from a collapsed building, Laura and Peter are approached by Reed Richards, Sue Storm, and Ben Grimm, who you may know as members of the Fantastic Four.
Those people.
The Future Foundation then brings Laura back to the Baxter Building to run some tests and discover that she is emitting the same energy signatures that were responsible for a recent earthquake. Isn't that weird? Later, a device shows Reed and Valeria that Laura, Spider-Man, and Sue were all emitting the same energy signature at this time. Spider-Man realizes that the energy emitting off them is involved with the Uni power that changes beings into Captain Universe.
Oh, not this again.
And while discussing this, Valeria activates the device and Laura, Spider-Man, and Sue are transported to an alien world. The story that follows isn't very good because spider characters and Wolverines do not belong in space.
Captain Universe is also this terrible conceit that exists in the Marvel Universe where people just get superpowered and get this cool-looking costume, but it's still stupid.
Right. Laura actually gets it in, like, her third storyline, but it's so silly and affects nothing.
Yeah.
So I didn't bring it up.
Good.
The next time Laura makes a major appearance is in the Avengers Academy storyline that happens after Fear itself. So not that long. As a member of the Academy, she is able to return to the role of student once again. After she's introduced herself to the new students, she explains to a character named Metal the difference between killing an innocent and killing to protect an innocent, telling him that he's not a psycho killer because he's having a crisis over killing someone, and that they can talk more about it at another time. Laura stands up for her fellow Academy members when the X-Men lock them out of the school during the events of Avengers vs. X-Men and is backed up by a character named Finesse. However, their friendship took a turn for the worst when Jeremy Briggs tried to release a superhuman cure and Finesse wanted it and X-23 didn't.
Mm-hmm.
After Jeremy Briggs took out X-23 and tried to acid burn her, Finesse grabs X-23's arms and fatally stabs Briggs in the radial and femoral articles, making him slowly bleed to death. X-23 for a long time thought that she killed him, but when she figured out that it was Finesse, she was furious that he would use her like that. X-23 agrees to keep his secret, but declares that they are no longer friends. Next, X-23 is part of the students abducted by Arcade in Avengers Arena. Arcade turns them loose for 30 days in Murder World to fight for survival. It's a lot like the Hunger Games.
It's like the dangerous game, too. The most dangerous game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In a flash forward, it is shown that on the penultimate day, she attacks Hazmat and is badly burned, but the results are unknown as the flash forward then cuts off and ends. She teams up with Reptile and Hazmat, but is separated from them when Arcade covers the arena and in Trigger Scent. And she's like, I gotta go now, bye! After nearly being killed by Apex, Arcade unleashes Trigger Scent on all of Murder World to send X-23 into a berserker rage, at which point she injures Hazmat, as was originally seen in the flash forward. Cullen then turns into a giant monster and fights X-23, defeating her and powering her down from her rage. After that, she continues to injure Hazmat until Anachronism steps in, angry over one of his friends' death and holding X-23 responsible. Attacking X-23 inadvertently saves Hazmat, which is great, but by this point, most of X-23's body had been badly burned by radiation, and she's still in this state when the competition ends, and Nico, Chase, Cammy, Deathlocket, and Anachronism call Hank Pym, Abigail Brand, Maria Hill, Captain Britain, and Wolverine to come and pick up the kids that are still alive. X-23 is then loaded into a SHIELD helicopter and is taken away to parts unknown, ending her affiliation with Avengers Academy.
Mm-hmm.
She does appear sporadically throughout the all-new X-Men storyline where they time displace the original X-Men to the modern day. But most interesting thing that happens to her there is really that she learns that Teen Cyclops likes her. He says that he fancies her.
Mm-hmm.
And she begins a romantic relationship with the time-displaced Archangel.
The very young teenager X-Men, of course, and the young teenager Warren Worthington.
Yes.
Yes.
Who are contemporaries of her.
And she joins
about 17 at this time.
And she joins their time-displaced team.
Yeah.
Of all new X-Men.
We are now up to all new Wolverine, which we talked a little bit about at the beginning. This is Laura's most recent solo series where, following the events of Secret Wars, she takes on Logan.
Following the events of death of Wolverine.
She takes on Logan's mantle of Wolverine because he's dead.
Yep.
and this series opens approximately 8 months after Secret Wars, and it finds Laura now using the cold name Wolverine and the time-displaced Warren dealing with an assassin on the streets of Paris. She meets a couple clones of herself and has to decide what to do with them, and there's a really awesome moment where old man Logan comes and visits her, but we will talk a little bit more about that maybe later on, and that is everything for your Laura Kinney X-23 history lesson.
Great. Woo!
Yeah.
All right. We covered a little bit of our TV stuff in the beginning, so let's move on into recommended reading, where Professor Ashley will tell you three choices that she thinks is great, and you can go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading, and basically you can click on these books, you can go buy these books, and every little piece of these books, a little bit of that comes back our way, helps the Mind University. Get you a cool book.
Exactly. So I'm going to recommend that people pick up NYX. You can get it in trade.
Is there a volume of that?
Yes, it is just a single collection. It is her first appearance in comics, so if you are new to this character, it's a good introduction. It's an okay story. The art is really good. I really like the way she looks in it. So if you want to meet her the way most people did, you have to get NYX. I'm also
That's where Zebra Daddy exists, too, right?
It is where Zebra Daddy exists. I'm also going to recommend Avengers Arena, because I think Avengers Arena is a really interesting conceit. And if you like Berserker-type Wolverine, this is where you get to see it from her the most.
Got it.
And then also the all-new Wolverine series, Volume 1, is out right now by Tom Taylor with art by David Lopez. It's the greatest thing Laura's ever done.
Yep.
It's
and she looks way better in that costume than Wolverine ever did.
Amazing. Yep. Yeah. So pick that up and then go read the rest of it. It's so, so good.
Cool.
Yeah. Shall we move on to the discussion, Jason?
Yes.
All right. So I want to know, now that Laura has established herself as Wolverine, and I think she's doing a pretty amazing job, do you like that she's taken up the mantle of Wolverine? Do you think this is a natural progression for her as a character?
Yep. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's a good way to keep that costume alive. That costume looks way better on her than it ever did on Wolverine. It's kind of like Robin's costume.
Mm-hmm.
Like Robin's costume, the original Silver Age costume looks way better on Kelly than it ever did on Dick Grayson. It's a little weird on Dick Grayson. Even on Wolverine, it's a little weird. But for some reason, putting that on a female form, you're like, that costume looks really cool.
I think the same thing about the Nightwing costume.
Oh, the Nightwing costume on female form? Has it been on female form?
There's like a single panel where Dick Grayson has this fashion student girlfriend, and she's like, I really love Nightwing. And she's like, look, I made a suit. And she like walks out, and Dick's like, whoa, hubba hubba. And there's a lot of fan art of Cassandra Cain as Nightwing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more concerned, to be honest with you, about what happens to Laura when
Logan comes back.
When Logan comes back.
Because he will.
Because he will. Because they're not going to leave him dead forever. And old man Logan is not going to stay around forever.
I kind of think she's going to be the Tim Drake of that universe. They're just going to shunt her off to the side and we're not going to see much of her.
Well, the sad thing about it is that like they've got this conceit now where Wolverine basically has to wear the yellow and blue in that costume universe. So to me, that tells me that she can't keep that costume. Although she is getting a new costume that's gray and black, mm-hmm. like her X-Force days. I hope they let her keep that costume. And to be honest with you, I would be okay if they just let Logan have a cowl-less costume for a while.
Ooh, interesting.
Like where he just has his face. Kind of like what they did in the Ultimate X-Men universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just give him a different costume because I really think that I hope they just let her be called Wolverine, kind of like how we have two Hawkeyes in that universe.
Yes.
I hope she just always stays like Wolverine. I think it's a natural progression. I'm more worried about what happens to her when Logan comes back.
That's fair. That's a legitimate concern.
Yes. All right. Cool.
Great. Let's move on to the teaching tweet.
Yes. Professor Ashley's going to tell you all about Laura. What's her last name?
Kinney.
Kinney. I always think that's an actress. And what's going to happen to her?
Laura Linney.
Laura
Linney. The actress.
In 140 characters or less. What she thinks about X-23.
X-23, the X-person I've always wanted to be. Like Logan, but less stinky. Probably about to kill you. Has an actual pet Wolverine.
You mean Skunk Bear?
I do mean Skunk Bear. She does. That's a cool thing that they do in the all-new Wolverine is Squirrel Girl brings her an actual Wolverine and they keep him as a pet and call him Jonathan.
Cool. All right, everybody. Well, that is it for our X-23 Geek History Lesson. If you want to listen to more of this stuff, don't forget to subscribe on SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. And when you head on over to iTunes, please leave us a review. Tell us how much you like the Skunk Bears, because not only does iTunes get confused when you write about Skunk Bears in our comments, but also it really helps the algorithm, helps other listeners find the podcast just like you. Now, if they want to be like your amazing Mind University students that suggested this lesson on X-23, Ashley, where can they go do that on social media?
Well, you can be like Zach Denton and Dominic Tan and go over to facebook.com/geekhistorylesson or geekhistorylesson.com and you can recommend all kinds of cool stuff you want us to cover.
Great. And you can come find us on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson for Ashley, at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N for me. And then while you're over there, you can see us posting about Geek History Lesson Extra, which is going to be all about Wolverine's female sidekicks. The topic that everybody's been jonesing for. I know they have. For this week's Geek History Lesson, thank you for listening. I'm Jason, not a skunky Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, would you please close out this lesson straight from the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters?
Class, you're the best at what you do, and what you do isn't very nice. You are dismissed.